Ian, Leslie's report was recorded at a private hospital. How available is that type of surgery on the NHS?
It's not readily available at all. I think in 1999 we had 200 procedures in the country in a year. It was about 500 last year, but that compares to France, where it's about 17,000 a year, and in the US, 90,000 cases a year.
Now, we talked about Britain being one of the heaviest nations in Europe, but the whole of Europe has a problem. The French, I mean, obviously they're doing an awful lot of operations. I mean, they've got a problem with weight too.
Oh, I think no matter what country you look at, the problem has been increasing. Finland had a major problem, which they've largely reversed. In Spain, where we think they have a healthy Mediterranean diet, they have a major government sponsored program looking at obesity in children. Malta's in fact got the highest rates of obesity among children across Europe.
We talked there about one type of surgery. Leslie was looking at talking to two people who had gastric bypasses done, but there are other techniques available.
Yes, there are. The other two are silastic banding, which involves putting a band around the top part of the stomach to reduce it in size. Another one's a gastric stimulation device that uses an electrical current to decrease your appetite.
And they're presumably just as effective?
Not quite, almost. They tend to help you lose about 30% of your excess body weight over a two-year period, compared to bypass surgery, which is about 50%.
And what happens to these people once they've had the surgery done? They've lost the weight, they've got down to a weight that's acceptable for all concerned. I mean, in the case of the lap band, the band around the stomach, can that be removed or is it left in forever?
It could be, but of course their weight would regain, so generally speaking you maintain it there, and that really does impact on their ability to enjoy social eating for the rest of their life.
So because they're limited in the amount that they can eat it each time that they go.
And the quantity of food they can eat, and also the type of food. For example, eating a chicken salad when you've got a elastic band in is not going to be possible. You need to eat much more mushed up food.
So how do you think we're coping as an NHS as a whole? I mean, you talked about we're presumably under-providing that sort of surgery. Are we providing enough money for slimming drugs? Do we have enough slimming experts like Nick Finer? Do we have enough experts like you?
We don't, but we're moving in the right direction. I think that gradually GPs are now accepting this is a problem for which they should help patients. NICE recommended the use of medication and surgery several years ago, but we've yet to see significant improvements in that. But it is moving in the right direction, and I think it's something which government are aware of and are making changes so that doctors and nurses will be more willing to do it.
But if you're very, very overweight, BMI 40 plus, and you go along to your GP and ask to be referred to a surgeon who does this sort of operation, or even an expert like you that might refer on to a surgeon like that, what are the chances that somebody will have somebody like that in their locality? They're slim, probably, aren't they? Excuse the pun.
Yeah, very slim. And in the Midlands where I work, there's very little provision, and it doesn't matter where in the country you look, there is not enough obesity surgery available because it's expensive and the skills aren't necessarily there.
That's all we have time for. Dr. Ian Campbell, thank you very much. Next week's programme explores a common complaint which goes by the acronym TATT, T-A-T-T, tired all the time. I'll be looking at what can be done to help people with unexplained fatigue. And I'll be talking to one of the UK's leading specialists about the latest thinking on ME.